Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Dina Gaudio-Graves, the JV Queen and Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I am calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. I have got my friend, co-host, and fellow entrepreneur, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself from ProfitableStorytelling.com, calling in from the Ozarks today. Hello, Miss Rhonda. Let's see if I can't get you unmuted better. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Hello there.
How are you?
We're having a windy day in the Ozarks, but it is a great day. I had my storm damage repaired yesterday, so my roof is all safe and sound again.
Oh, that's good. We are having a windy, windy day here today as well. Like,
yeah.
Gale force winds today, they say.
Wow. Yeah, by the time I went outside and was there for a while this morning, it looked like I never brushed my hair in my whole life, so...
Oh, goodness gracious.
But it's good to be here. And I tell you, you know, last week after the show Tuesday, in the middle of the night on Leap Day, we had these ferocious storms raging through the Branson area as well as many other areas. And the outpouring of people who were checking to make sure I'm okay was so touching. I was in tears several times that day.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
And some of them I've met, and some of them I haven't, and so it was just great. And I'm very, very humbled by all that. That was so beautiful.
That's fantastic. I know I got a phone call first thing that morning from one of our mutual friends, Jason Oman, who was saying, Gina, is Rhonda okay? And I'm like, I don't know. Why wouldn't Rhonda be okay? She's always amazing. And I had no idea what was going on. It was so funny.
Well, essentially, don't read the news or watch the news. It's really easy. There are times when I don't know something happened because I don't watch the news, you know.
I don't either. I just don't do it. It was really funny. Really funny.
Yep, it really is. So... But I'm really excited to be here with everybody today, and it's really been interesting because we are going to be talking miracles today, and I know that that's one of our very favorite things to talk about, and some really amazing things have been happening lately, right, Gina?
Oh, my goodness, Rhonda. Can't even begin to tell everyone. Yes, absolutely.
Well, we're going to have an hour to do it. One of my favorite quotes, and one I know you like, is expect a miracle.
Absolutely.
And I know, because people have really fought with me over this one as far as, it's just faith and whether someone in God does it or whether God doesn't and all these other kinds of things. So today will be a great opportunity. You know, I think about how in certain weather conditions are favorable for certain things to happen. You know, like if there's a really thick layer of clouds over between you and the sun, you're not going to be seeing the sun, even though it's still there, it's still shining, but the conditions are not favorable. So today we're going to help everyone understand what can you do to make the conditions favorable for miracles to happen. And we'll share some pretty awesome stories of things that have gone on in our lives. So I think that's going to be a great way to help people get into a fantastic new mindset.
Oh, I definitely agree.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So where should we start on this wonderful topic?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we have, why don't we start with, I know that you have had a miraculous healing in your life, and you have talked about it sometimes, but of course, not everyone's here all the time or hears every show. So why don't we start with what happened in your life that you thought you were going to die and how you came back from that? Let's kind of start there. And what was it that helped you to create that miracle in your life?
Okay. So back in the 90s, I was an attorney. I was actually a litigator. I was in court pretty much every day. When suddenly my life decided to change drastically because of a car accident. And that car accident left me in need of major reconstructive surgery on my back. First back surgery leads me to having an incurable infection, the kind you hear about on the news. Well, that was back in 1996, and certainly took my life in a completely different direction than what I had actually planned on my life doing. So over the next 10 years, I had a total of 9 major reconstructive surgeries on my back. All 9 were surgeries where they went in both through the front and the back. Then I had a total of 52 operations in all, so 43 on top of the 9 back surgeries, all of them about trying to eradicate this infection that was just rampaging through my body. Well, by 2005, from all of the treatment for that main infection, they had caused yet another resistant infection, this time a fungal infection, and it was producing little balls of yeast in my heart, my lungs, and my blood. And that yeast was starting to accumulate, heading towards my brain, which is what caused the doctors to come and tell me that at the whopping age of 40, I had just 12 to 18 months to live. Well, at the time, I thought I was one of the most positive people on the planet. I wanted to see the country before it was time to die. So within a couple of days, my husband had gone into work, told him he wouldn't know when he'd be back, he might not be back ever, went and found an RV that we could retrofit with my medical equipment, my hospital bed, my oxygen, and we hit the road for what we expected would be about an 8 to 10 month trip so that I could see the country before it would be time to come home and die. 6 months in, every day for the whole trip, I had been drawing my blood and taking it to whatever hospital was in the area. Well, 6 months in, it was my 41st birthday. That week, we took 3 different blood tests, sent them off to 3 different hospitals, and 3 different times in the same week, the test results all came back saying the same thing. This patient is clinically dead. Well, that wasn't quite the way I had planned on celebrating my 41st birthday, being told that I was dead even though I was still alive. Bill wanted to help me out with my birthday and hoped that I'd just have less pain for that day. So he took me to see a massage therapist, hoping to make a small impact on the pain. And as I got up onto her table, she looks at me and she says, "You know, you're not going to die as soon as you think." Well, I didn't know this lady from Adam. What the heck makes her qualified to tell me that? So I assume that, like everybody else, she's trying to sell me something. She goes on to say, no, not like that. She's not trying to sell me anything. She tells me that if I can remove the negativity from my life, I won't die as soon as I think. I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm the most positive person you ever wanted to meet. She says, well, if that's all you got, you're still going to die. Well, that didn't make any sense at all because she just said, but okay, I'll go with it. So I start asking some questions about what that means. And she proceeds to ask if I'm using visualization. And I said, oh, yes, I use it every day. I've worked with some major experts. And so she asks, how's that working for you? And okay, so maybe it's not working so good because here I am still dying and now my tests are even telling me I'm clinically dead. So she asked me to describe the visualizations. I did. I said, you know, I see myself in my wheelchair. I'm sick. I'm dying. I've got tubes coming out of me all over the place. Next thing you know, I'm getting out of that wheelchair. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I'm walking. She's shaking her head. Well, that'll never work, she says. And I'm like, you just said visualizations. She's like, well, But how do you expect to start at a negative place and have a positive outcome? That was making a little bit of sense to me.
In the retrospect, it's a well, duh, of course, right?
Well, yeah, but who the heck thinks of it at the time, right?
Right.
So she starts explaining ways of doing visualizations that were a little bit different and actually kind of a little bit out there. Had I not been as sick as I was, had I not really been weeks to months away from death, I probably would have thought her ideas were a little too woo-woo and just not even paid them a second glance. But I really didn't have anything to lose at this point. I mean, literally at death's doorstep. So when we left her office the next day, our next stop was going to be the Grand Canyon. And the whole time we were on our way to the Grand Canyon, I'm thinking about what she said and how it could apply. Well, when we got to the Grand Canyon, and I'd never been there before, and we saw the grandeur and the majesty of it, all I could think was, I've got to try what she's suggesting. It certainly can't hurt at this point. And even if it helps a little bit and gets me 4 or 5 months instead of the weeks to a couple of months that I might have left, it could be worth it. So I spent the next 4.5 months researching what this meant, what it looked like, how to apply it, what that meant I needed to do. Because she didn't really give me concrete action steps, do this, do this, do this, it'll make it work and you'll live. She just kind of gave me some philosophies, and that was about it. So over the next 4.5 months, I really started looking at everything I could get my hands on that could tell me how to do this and what this meant needed to happen in my life. And as I started making these gigantic shifts in my thinking and my own beliefs and in my philosophies, I went from a wheelchair to a walker to a cane to walking with no assistance at all, even though to this day I have no feeling in my legs and feet. I stopped 68 pills per day, 4 continuous IVs per day. I lost 68 pounds. What else happened? Well, a bunch of stuff. But by the end of that 4.5 months, not only was I no longer dying, I was 100% completely well. Mm-hmm. And to this day, people constantly hear my story and ask, so what was it that your doctors did? Well, my doctors didn't do anything. In fact, I didn't even tell my doctors that I was going to do this. I didn't even tell my husband that I was going to do this initially because, you know, there's that whole fear thing that comes into it. Well, what if it doesn't work? What if it does make it worse? They're going to think I'm an idiot. I knew I had to believe it wholly as if it were already done or it wouldn't work in the first place. So I didn't want them coming back in and kind of sabotaging me, making me believe that it wouldn't work, that would just ruin the whole thing. So little things, like when I first took my IV bags off and disconnected myself from the tubes, I left the IV pumps running because they would beep. I just didn't have the tubes getting any liquid going through them. And uh-huh. I did that for almost 10 days so that Bill wouldn't realize that I didn't have the IVs there and he couldn't sit there and sabotage my thinking about it. And
right.
In the middle of the night, on the 8th night of not running the IVs, sometimes about once or twice a week, the batteries in the pumps would die and they would go into this different kind of a beep alerting you to change the batteries. Well, about 3 a.m. one night, that happened on one of the pumps. But the pump is not actually working at this point. It's just sitting next to me, so Bill thinks it's working. And he's freaking out. Oh, my gosh, honey, the batteries are dead, and it's not connected. And, oh, my gosh, you're going to die. And I'm like, it hasn't been connected for 8 days. It was too funny.
Yep.
But literally every single day for the first several months, there were huge things that I could see improving. One day I could wiggle my toes. The next day I could flex my feet. The next day I could lift my legs. The next day I could stand. The next day I was walking. Not huge amounts, but steps, right? Every single day, some huge manifestation of this came through.
Wow.
And it wasn't the doctors. It was simply my mind.
Yep.
You can have anything you want. You can be anything you want. You can do anything you want, whether that means improving your health, whether that means improving your business, anything you can imagine, you can cause with your mind.
Mm-hmm. I know there are going to be some people who are like, okay, that's great for Gina because she was so close to death and, you know, maybe she had some special miraculous power that I don't have. What would you say to that?
Yeah, really not true.
Right.
The fact that I was dying just gave me a bigger reason to try it.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that it gave me a bigger reason to try it, it did not give me anything else that every person listening to this does not already have in their life. You've got it. You just have to have the courage to try it. And not really try it, do it.
Right.
What you're doing is trying it. It probably won't work.
Well, yeah, and it's not just, not just the courage to try it, but the courage to take action and to set your mind on the right path and to do the things that are going to make the conditions favorable and help you get to that result. And part of it is the courage to not expect some other force or power to be in charge of whether or not you have a miracle.
Mm-hmm. And
if you're going to wait for whatever, you know, for God or the blue diamond in the sky or for whatever to create your miracle, you know, that's where people can really get into some issues.
Your whole belief system is so much a part of what you can choose to do with your mind.
Yeah.
If I didn't fully believe that what I was doing back then was healing me, not was that it could heal me, but it was physically healing me,
right,
I never would have been able to walk and I would be dead at this moment.
Absolutely. We have one of our super friends that I want to unmute, and I have their permission to do this. We have the Tall Trees here with us today. And
hey, how are you?
On my sister's birthday.
I know. I couldn't think of a better place to be on my birthday than with you guys.
Yay! It's my father's birthday, too, and what a great day to be, place to be on your birthday talking miracles, right?
I know. What's better? What's better than sharing miracles and bringing people into contact with the miracle that they are and the miracles that they can create in their own life?
You know, I think initially once an individual realizes how much of a miracle that they are and that is part of their very fiber, that's where you have a tendency of pulling it from within. And I know that Gina has always known that. It was just kind of re-recognizing it, and I think that was part of initially what created the catalyst of her miracle itself. And, of course, many of the individuals I'm sure that are listening into this broadcast have had numerous miracles or even witnessed the numerous miracles, even in the birth of their own children, is the witnessing of a miracle. And to take and inspire them and to continue to encourage them to realize how much that they're holding themselves back to really taking and having so much the world has to give. Just need to open your heart and your mind. And I think that's what people forget, that there is a way. But truly, the influence of the world does have a tendency of creating a whole different belief. And I think that's where it is that it's relative to what you believe in, your core value. And that has a tendency of limiting people today to receiving those particular miracles. And many of the people that are listening in know of Terry's also miracle that she had within her life from becoming totally from a paralyzed young woman to now walking, and nobody could even realize that she was actually bedridden for some numerous days in a very critical place.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gina, that there, you know, I often share with people that sometimes our darkest hour is our greatest gift because it creates such immense leverage. You, the conversation about, well, this might be woo-woo, this might be look strange or weird, or other people may disapprove, or I might look silly or crazy doing this, kind of leverage, you know, when you weigh that on the scale of, okay, I can have those concerns about other people's opinion of me and other people's approval, or I can fight for my life. I can do whatever it takes to stack the odds in my favor. I might not win, but I'm going to I'm not going to go out without a screaming chance, right? You know what I mean? I'm going down with a fight.
Right.
And that's kind of how I felt. I just felt like I all my life had been playing it safe and trying to please others and get other people's approval and fit in. And that's herd mentality. That's the way we are. We're sort of programmed on a very core level to seek and gain approval of our tribe or our herd. And that holds most people back from living their true potential, because instead of doing what their instincts, what their intuition and instincts urge them to do, they logically think it out and think about what other people will think of it, and it holds them back from creating the incredible, powerful life experience that they really have calling to them in their heart. And so for me, that was the turning point for me, was laying in the bed, being completely paralyzed, being told there was a very good chance I would never walk again. And to me, it was, you know, my chance to apply all of the things that I had been studying and learning, and that I instinctively knew I was here for something greater than that. That was not what I was here for. And so, like you, I just did something that I wouldn't have done before that, and I took a risk. And the results are evident. I now, and for decades now, have been, you know, completely recovered, dancing, singing, traveling around the world, living completely free from any limitation that other people would have imposed on me. And had I bought it, had I given them my power, I would still be dealing with the consequences of those choices. But you're right. It was something that happened inside me that caused a major miraculous mind shift.
And I think for you and I both, when you reach that level of desperation where your life is essentially over unless you do something different, it makes it easier to apply it and do it right then and there unquestioningly. But you can make that choice at any moment. You don't have to reach the level of desperation that you and I did with our health.
Right.
That's the point, right? That you
that
you don't wait until you get on your deathbed to do this. Don't wait until you're backed into a corner. For me, that's why I say it was a huge gift, because up until that point, it hadn't occurred to me to apply the principles. It hadn't occurred to me to take the action that I knew to do. I just wasn't strongly enough motivated. I didn't trust myself or believe in myself enough to do it. And at that point, I got the leverage. It was what Tony Robbins talks about when he talks about the being on the, you know, what your pain threshold is that's where you have leverage. Well, you don't have to wait for that to happen. You can create that yourself, and it's much more effective. You're living a much higher level of self-mastery when you set that into motion yourself rather than waiting for something devastating to present itself in your life.
And like you, Gina and Terry, both of you were consistently being bombarded by individuals who said they knew much more than you, and that because of their credentials that you needed to listen to them and at least take and live out the few days that you had left.
Yeah. And, you know, it's such a powerful thing. Is you guys were kind of backed against the wall, and it's sort of like, okay, what could the worst thing that could happen? I'm either dying or I'm not walking again, so I'm willing to try just about anything. And yet you still had to do things that would help to block you and shield you from the negativity of others. Gina, you had talked about how you didn't tell Bill for days that you had unplugged your IV because you didn't want him to go, oh, my God, you're going to die in the next 5 minutes or whatever without it. And because of his love for you, it's not that he's an awful person, of course. You know, it's people do because they think they have your best interest at heart, and the doctors think they know best. And, Terry, yeah. I'm sure you were in some situations like that, too. So you had to put yourself in that place of not only saying, look, guys, how much worse can it get? I will try this. And we can do that being fully healthy. We don't have to say, well, let me almost fall off a cliff before I decide to do this.
Like, right. At any point in your life, the point of power is in the present moment. So right now, anyone who's listening to this, right now you can create a miracle mind shift in your life. You can create miracles in your financial health, in your physical health and well-being, in your relationship, in your creative expression. Whatever your big, hairy, audacious goals are in life, whatever they are, you can do them right now. You don't have to wait for somebody to, you know, clunk you on the head. You can do it right now. And that's really, I'm so excited that today, yeah, on my birthday, you're talking about miracles, because this is, for me, if there's one gift you can do, have a birthday today with me. Reclaim your life. Create miracles in your life right now. It's not over. It's not ever too late. Whatever your past has been an outpicturing of the beliefs and attitudes and thoughts that you've projected to create that experience. To change your life, you change yourself. You change yourself. You can do it right now. So happy birthday, everybody.
Oh, what a great message today, Terry.
Well, yes. I know clearly, you know, for me, Gina, that was a life-changing moment. And from that moment on, I really fully started to recognize here on the planet, what my life purpose is. And there's nothing greater for me than to help others get in touch with their own purpose and reason for being here. Why are you here? What are you here to do? What is the unique gift and talent that you are? And how can you share that precious gift of you with the world? Because when you do that, the whole world's a better place, and we're blessed because of your.
Wow, that's an awesome thing. I love that. And I love you just made this awesome quote, and I'm posting on Facebook right now. The point of power is in the present moment.
Always. Always.
Yes.
You know, we always think. We think we get in experiences that reinforce our beliefs, and so that validates our beliefs and gives us the, quote, proof that we need to say this is the way it is. That's not the way it is. It's just the way you think it is. And as long as you keep thinking that's the way it is, that's the way you will experience it. So, you know, whatever has been in the past is gone. It's history. Whatever you think is coming in the future is a mystery. It hasn't happened yet. So right now you're creating your present moment. There really isn't any future. There's really nothing out there going on. There's nothing holding you back from your greatest good. That right now, this is the time, this is the place, this is the moment you have been born. Moment, this moment, right now.
And I think people, those individuals that are on this call, maybe you haven't been on this call on a regular basis or listened to this radio program on a regular basis, but there's a reason why you're here. And if you've called for an answer to find a direction, you're looking for the beacon. That's why you're here. It's not an accident. There is no accidents in that aspect. But when you have a tendency of having that soul, your spirit, when you're calling out for something, you know, the Creator sends out all these things. Just open your eyes and listen and start taking those particular actions and empowering yourself. That's what all we're asking individuals to consider, not have to be in a life, a critical place in their life, but really take an opportunity to really take some action. Because every human being deserves that. They deserve to be able to find what they're here to do and to really relish and to really embrace it. And it means sometimes going against the wind. I mean, obviously the culture and society always has a tendency of thinking that they know what's best for you. Well, that's not true. you know what's best for you. They cannot hear what you hear. They cannot feel what you feel. And they don't know what really burns within your heart. That's what we're saying. That's where you need to reach, and that's where you need to go. My native elders said that if every human being followed what they were born to do and reached within themselves and really take and nurture those gifts and expanded upon them, there would be no wars and there would be no hunger, and but there would be billions of people that would really be in happiness. I mean, that's what we're saying. That's where we want everyone to reach for.
Yes. And it's just a thought away.
Yeah. And we're seeing it. You know, we're seeing it all around us right now. It's so fun to see people actually take responsibility. You know, when I say responsibility, a lot of times that comes as such a heavy feeling word, because from the time you're little, when you're told to be responsible, it's not, there's not a lot of fun around that.
Be responsible.
You know, so I when I hear that word, when I think of that word, I hyphenate it. It's response ability. I have the ability to respond in the way that I choose, rather than an unconscious knee-jerk reaction. So if I can have, if the power is within me to create, because my thoughts are creative, my mind is creative, then I want to create the life of joy, of simplicity, of freedom, of creative expression, of harmonious relationships, of abundant prosperity, health, and well-being. I want to be able to respond to that, right? I want to have that kind of control. When I was laying in the hospital, I remember having a very powerful exchange with the psychologist that was assigned to me. And, you know, you guys both know I was saying I had a team of professionals because I was completely paralyzed. I had a cardiologist, a pulmonary specialist, a gastrointestinologist, a neurologist. You know, I mean, I had like 8 specialists, including a psychologist, because this was considered a life-changing, long-term, disabling condition. So I was talking to him, and I said, well, I really get why I'm here. And he said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, I created this experience based on my emotional state and the thoughts and beliefs that I had. And he said, what? Whoa, you mean that you... He got really this perplexed look on his face, really concerned, and he said, you mean to tell me you think that you're to blame for this? And I said, oh, no. No, no one is to blame. I am completely responsible for creating my reality. And he looked at me, and he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I'm the thinker who thinks the thoughts that create my reality. And I was thinking thoughts of being completely out of control in my life. I had given my power to everyone else. And I realized that my simply mirroring my, that, you know, that's it. My body is just showing me exactly what I'm thinking. And so if I, and he said, I've got to think about that. And I said, well, Harvey, I called him by his first name. Harvey, let me put it this way. If I had no ability in creating this, how can I possibly have any power in, right? How can I change it if it's something that happened to me rather than that I actively participated in co-creating? No, thank you. No, thank you. I don't want the get-out-of-jail-free card. I have no skin in the game. If I'm in it, I'm all in, and I'm going to take responsibility so I can change it. Otherwise, I'm stuck in this pity pool for a very long time.
Yeah. Makes a very big difference.
And so the next question has always been asked, well, if every person can be a participant of having miracles happening in their lives, why isn't it happening more often? And the answer, of course, is that they have to come to the realization that they really don't believe that they should receive it. I mean, it sounds simple, but it's really a reality. Most individuals that don't have a tendency of receiving a lot of abundance of health and vitality and even in the relationships is because they don't really believe they deserve it. Somewhere in their life, they've taken embraced a law, I call it law, that that says that they don't deserve to have these things happening for them. And they say, well, my mind says that I really deserve it, and I've taken to this and this. I said, but your subconscious, that's where your power is. You don't have you're not in agreement. You're not in agreement with your conscious to your subconscious. And your subconscious has already got a lot of things embedded. So now you have to really take and work externally and start digging down deep internally to be able to get to the core of where this value or this self-defeating value is. And once you have a tendency of finding it, then you can unhook it and replace it with something that's really, that's where you'll start to expand.
And so last week, you guys came up with the idea for a Miracle Mind Shift Month. Why don't you talk a little bit about what that is and how every person listening to this call can really use it to create miracles in their own lives?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because, as you very well know, that we have we do a lot of very, very powerful training programs for people of all walks of life, and we've been doing the Miracle Mind Shift for years. Every time we catch ourselves backsliding into some old beliefs or thought processes, then we get into back into our Miracle Mind Shift. And it struck us that we would like to and bring it back into the specific elite group that we've been doing trainings with and guiding, that we would offer it to them. And they got so excited that every one of them wanted it. And I said, okay. And then we talked to you, and you said, oh, my goodness, you guys have been doing this for years. The world should have this. I said, well, you know, to us it just seemed like everybody knew it, I guess. And so we offered it to more individuals, and it's starting to, like, I can see it started off like an ember, and then there was a breath of kindness that blew across that ember, and now it's in a small flame, but I got a feeling that it's going to ignite into a huge flame. And so we've got three individuals that are making inquiries saying, yes, I want the Miracle Mind Shift. And the funny thing is, one of our dear friends said, shift happens.
I
said, and I said, absolutely. And so we got so excited about it. And we, ever since that we launched it and the people are participating in it, we have been doing and lighting, traditionally with Native people, we light sage when something special is happening. So every day I light sage on behalf of everyone that's participating into this particular program. And every day I can feel myself really excited about it. It's almost like, if you can remember way back, if you celebrate Christmas, how it was, you were excited, you could hardly sleep, and because Christmas was going to be the next morning, and it was like 2 or 3 in the morning, and you were hoping that it was going to get to where you could hear your parents getting up and starting the coffee, to where you knew you could run down, and you were so excited because you knew that you were going to be blessed with so many wonderful things in your life, whether it was clothing or toys, whatever it be. And to me, that's the feeling that everybody's getting, that when they get into this particular program. And that's what's been so and they're laughing. Every single one is laughing and sending us texts and emails, and they're calling us and saying, you wouldn't believe what I did. And they're taking responsibility, which is awesome. They're saying, oh, the world did this to me, or that person did it to me. They say, you know what? I realize, I just acknowledge that I have been doing this because my mind is so powerful. And I said, yes, it is. I said, I have, and then it just, I become so elated, and my voice starts talking faster, and my voice goes up an octave because I can feel that in the resonance of how they're expressing in the moment, how it has changed their life. And in doing so, in fact, we had one gal who has a business, and she has a business online, and she said that her and her very dear friend got together, and they said they hadn't had any sales in a week. So they checked out all of the connections and all the links, and she said, everything's working fine. And so they said, well, how about we just set and send a quiet prayer out to the Creator, to God, about saying, I appreciate everything you've given to me, and thank you for all the gifts that you have bestowed upon me to be able to make changes in people's lives. And it was a very simple prayer and stuff like that. And within 20 minutes, she got a little bing on her computer that said that she made a sale. And she said, I cannot believe, she goes,
Goosebumps.
She says, I have goosebumps. She goes, I see the connection. I feel the connection. I am resonating with that connection. And she said, I didn't realize how much I had been taking and randomly sabotaging my particular successes. And I said, yes, yes, yes. And it's exciting to see individuals having these major breakthroughs in such a short amount of time, because she had only been on the program for like 3 days.
No, one day.
Oh, one day.
24 hours, in less than 24 hours. And then yesterday, she contacted me to let me know that she had gotten an affiliate sale, a significant amount. It was not like, you know how, not like a book sale for a couple dollars. It was nearly $50, like $47.50, on a piece of equipment she didn't know she'd ever be able to get any sales on. She just never believed.
She had tried selling that for over 2 years in the past, Jerry.
Oh,
Jerry.
I love this. It's so great, right? Literally, shift happens. When you change your mind, you change your world. You change your life. You change your experience of who you thought you were.
Absolutely.
Very cool. It's so much fun. I'm having, we're doing this along with everybody else who's doing it, and we are having such a fun time. Yesterday, we've been working on how to live on purpose. We have this amazing experience for people to go through a process of 7 different steps that put you very, very much in contact with your authentic self and really start to open you up to the gift that you are. And it's called the I Am a Gift to the World quest. And over the series of the last few weeks, even almost 2 months now, we've been working on getting that transition made. And yesterday, in literally less than an hour, we were able to call forth all the things that we needed and outline exactly what needs to happen for that to happen. So effortlessly. So this is one of the things. I was speaking with a really dear friend of mine last night, Helga Hefner, who has been called by many the mother of Aveda. She's been working with the Aveda company for almost since its inception with Horst. And she's been on a spiritual path for many, many years. And I was sharing this with her. I said, Helga, many people in our circle have had years and years and of investing in their personal development. They're not newbies. This is not new to them. But they have done courses and workshops and read books and meditated and done a lot of things. The one thing that's missing is the focused discipline of reinforcing how to clear the block every single day. And that's why we put together the 31-Day Miracle Mind Shift, so that in a short amount of time, people can literally see the changes happening in their life. And you cannot fail when you do it, because as soon as you start to change your relationship with your thoughts, things start to happen, and they become very obvious. And it happens so quickly that for some people, it starts happening as soon as they hear about it, as soon as they take action, before they even start doing their daily practice. And the practice is, this is one of the things that delights me about it, Gina. When we were sharing this with our self-mastery group, we asked them if they wanted to come and play with us, because we were planning on doing it. This, for me, is like, this tickles me to do this, right? So I'm really excited about doing it myself. We simply invited them to come along and participate, and they were all really excited about it. And then almost instantly, the resistance comes up. Oh, how much time is it going to take? Oh, I don't know. There's writing involved. I'm not good at writing. How much is this going to cost? Well, I'm already so big. All the resistance, right? You can hear it. It's like mental chatter. And I'm laughing my head off, because this is like, really, guys? It's like, tell you exactly what to do. It's laid out for you step by step. It will take you literally a maximum of 10 minutes a day. A maximum, right? So all the resistance is you projecting it. It has nothing to do with what's really going on.
Right.
So great, isn't it?
And we have individuals that have taken and got joined into the program who are really literally masters of the mind, and they have a chance at coaching millionaires, multimillionaires, and they took the program, and they have had seen so many miraculous things happen within their life. I have one dear friend, his name's Don, and he literally fell off his chair just laughing out about something that happened within his particular with his online business, because he realized that he manifested it. He says, I take total ownership of that. He said, I in the past would have said, oh, it was this software, or why is there a glitch in it all of a sudden when there hadn't been in the past? And as soon as he took that action and responsibility, it actually realigned itself. It started working and functioning. And he could see it. It was so clear. And that's what we're saying, is that this just brings you to a whole new heightenedness of awareness of what really is going on and how much that you have in making things shift and happen in your life.
Yeah, I'd like to tell people how they can get to have your own miracle mind shift, and you can find that on profitablestorytelling.com/miracle. profitablestorytelling.com/miracle. If you want to come and play, because it does not matter what day of the month or what day of the week you start, amazing things will start to happen within 30 days and often within the first couple of days once you take action and do the very, very simple and beautiful program with us.
And you know, the thing is that here's the one thing I discovered, is that people are not used to giving themselves a gift like this. That's the big thing that we've recognized that continues to always come to the surface, that people are willing to take care of their children, their husbands, wives, even their very dearest friends. They're willing to invest in them because they really love and care about them. But when it comes to actually investing in themselves, they really have second thoughts. So they always prioritize everyone else way above themselves. And this is really a gift that really changes people's lives. Just dramatically. It's not something that's just noticeable. It's something that will change you in a very positive way.
I'm having a great time with you. I'm so tickled. Whenever anybody contacts us or puts something up in the group that we have on How to Live on Purpose, the Miracle Mind Shift members group, where they're sharing their experiences. You know, we had Renee share her experience of having her very, very special purple pens that she has to special order, and the thought literally crossing her mind, oh, do I want to really waste my good pen on this? And then realizing what a setup that kind of thinking is, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
And then just catching, like, the beauty of it is you get it yourself. It's not like somebody's standing there having to point it out. Like, we do provide a lot of support. There's a weekly call, and there's a daily podcast, and there's a daily message for folks, you know, bringing your focus. But the reality is that the process is so powerful that it becomes very obvious. And as Robert was saying, everyone we've talked to is really getting a big kick out of the fact that they get how creative their minds are.
Mm-hmm.
How powerful you are, right?
Oh,
to make myself think this, well, I'm going to hold myself back for this because of this one thing. I was sharing with Gina the other day. I was working on a project, and I was almost done. I was within minutes of finishing it without even recognizing what happened. I found myself in the kitchen making a hot tea, and I thought, how did I get here? And all I realized, I had a thought that interrupted and distracted me from finishing what I had started. And the thought was, oh, you've been sitting here a really long time and you haven't even had your morning tea. Don't you want your morning tea? So I thought, of course, the poor pitiful me, oh, I haven't even had my morning tea. So I find myself in the kitchen making tea, and all of a sudden I snap out of it, right? And I think, what a saboteur. I was almost done with that. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go back and finish it, and then I'll have my tea. But today in my little journal it says, the best way to make your dreams come true is to wake up.
Mm-hmm. Also, Terry had taken, she was writing this very intricate message, very, very detailed, and she went ahead and put on the screen what it was supposed to look like, and it was totally all, it looked like it had exploded. The pictures, the words were everywhere, and she looked at it, and was just looking at this screen with everything just thrown all over the place, and she goes, huh. And she was very perplexed, and I was watching her, and all of a sudden she goes, I am not buying this. This is not a reality. She goes, and She goes, I know everything is right and everything's where it's supposed to be. I know this. I am not going to even question it. So she then refreshed the screen, and everything went right back to order.
I love that. Oh, my goodness. I love that.
I call it the divine dance with resistance, you know, to just really get when you're – that that's what it is and that you can really have fun and play with it. And you can really – miracles, whatever it is in your life that you want to create a massive change in. There have been people who've, you know, doubled their income. There have been people who've had miraculous healings. And other people will ask them, like, well, how come it works so fast for you? Well, you know, I don't know. You need to ask yourself that question. What do you need to do to create the shift? One of the things that helps is the consistency. And I know, Tina, I'd love to ask you this question. When you were doing that, were you consistent with working with reconditioning your thinking about your experience?
Absolutely. Every day as I would wake up and as I would go to bed, both times I was doing it. And several times during the day, always on a set schedule, I was doing it. The consistency is essential. You can't do something today, then not do anything for a week, then do something one more time and not do anything for a month and expect a different result. It will not work.
Right.
That's right.
And that's what I found, too, and that's exactly what Napoleon Hill says, brilliant masterpiece, Think and Grow Rich. And I have applied these principles over and over and over again in my life, Robert and I both. We went from living in small little mobile home to living in a beautiful custom-built home that faces the entire range of the Rocky Mountains, Colorado. We went from having no income and having debt that worried us when we went to sleep and was still worrying us when we woke up in the morning to being completely debt-free and having a five-figure a month income in weeks, a matter of weeks, from applying the same principles. And consistency is so important. That's one of the reasons that we offer to other people to come along with us and you know, just take the ride and play with us, because it's easy to start out like with this big burst of enthusiasm and really get on board. But what starts to happen for most people is you will get feedback from others around you or from which are really projections of your own subconscious patterns and conditions that it's silly, it's too easy, it can't possibly work, you don't have time, you're too tired, you're too busy, oh, it wouldn't hurt to skip a day, all that kind of stuff. So we wanted to create a system that would allow people to be reinforced to just take those few minutes a day. And I did the same thing, Gina. I actually not only visualized, but I read a statement out loud every morning and every night. And I wrote it in as much – I created a mental picture like you did, and then I wrote it down with as much detail as I could possibly recall about it. And then I read that out loud every morning when I woke up and every night before I went to sleep. And I was in a hospital room with another patient. I was in a hospital room in California at the time. And because I was paralyzed, my writing was very difficult to write and very sloppy and difficult to read because of that. But I did it anyway because that wasn't the most important part. The most important thing was my commitment to it. And so I did that. And then speaking, because all of my muscles were paralyzed, including my facial muscles, speaking, people really couldn't understand what I was saying. They could catch part of it, but they would nod their head in a very, you know, patronizing way, like as if they understood when I could clearly see that they hadn't. Instead of saying, I'm sorry, I can't understand you, they would act like they could, because they thought they were protecting my feelings. And so even speaking it out loud was a challenge. But again, for me it was, I'm going to push through what to be real. Just like what happened on the screen the other day. I'm going to push through what appears to be real. It's presenting itself as real. But I'm not going to empower that. I'm going to empower the vision that I'm holding in my mind, and I'm going to create a clear, clear vision. You know, Wallace Wattles talks about how you can create these, you know, your reality by these projections. And he says, you know, one of the things that he says is, and I'll quote him, there is a thinking stuff from which all things are made and which in its original state permeates, penetrates, and fills the inner spaces of the universe. Thought in this substance produces the thing that is imaged by the thought. If you can hold that thought and project it, you will cause that which you project to be created. And that's exactly what happens. That is how it happens. What you experience as the physical reality is a projection of your thoughts. And so there are four steps to get that to happen. The first is you must have a clear mental image. You must have a clear thought about what that outcome is that you want. And Gina, in your bachelor's program in DU, you say that all the time. Start with the outcome in mind. Know what it is that you want. And very often when we are working with people, even in our self-mastery program, they don't know how to get that clear thought. They don't know how to get clarity. So that's important if you can start working towards it. And you might not have it right away, but if every single day you get a little clearer, you're going to get there. So first and foremost, have a clear thought. Second, have a purpose for it. And you always say this in your business. Know why you're doing it. Don't just throw numbers out there. My goal is to make, you know, $5,000 a month, $10,000 a month, or $1,000 a week, or $1 million a month. Don't throw the numbers out without having a purpose behind it. Know your purpose. If your purpose is to change the world, know why. Why is that important? What is that going to impact? What does that mean to you? That's the purpose behind it. So first of all, have a clear mental image. Second of all, have a purpose for why you're doing it. Third, have unwavering faith. When you understand, it's easy to have unwavering faith if you know that this is how it works. If you don't know, simply go back over your life and see all the times that it's already happened exactly this way. Remind yourself, you've already done this hundreds of times in your life. I assure you, over and over again, you just haven't made the connection. And fourth of all, be in a state of gratitude, because gratitude calls it, it's the accelerator that brings it to you even faster. So all of that is how it happens. That's sort of the system behind how it all happens. And this happens. Our native elders have been so tuned into this for as long as our oral history has existed, since the beginning of time with our people.
I'd like to add one more step, is to consciously immerse yourself with like-minded people, because that is the circle that really creates the solidity of your empowerment. And that's really important. And I think that's why even you, Gina, have had to really make some very powerful conscious shifts in your mind of the individuals in which you're associated with.
Yep. Well, we only have about 90 seconds left, and I want to make sure we can tell everyone where to find the Miracle Mind Shift Month one more time. Ron, do you want to repeat that for them?
Yes, please go to profitablestorytelling.com/miracle, and you can take the ride with us. And I'm in there, too, and I've got some really fun stories, too, and it's just been amazing. Join us. Create your own amazing story of the miracle of your life, and we look forward to seeing you inside.
And thank you for that. And any other final words of advice for our listeners, Robert and Terry?
Yes. Realize that this is their first step to some miraculous miracles happening, and make the mind shift today. Go there and make the mind shift for you, because you deserve it, because you are a gift to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for joining us, Jackie.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for playing with me.
Yeah, and happy birthday. It was fun.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
Rhonda and I will be back next week for another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a wonderful week, everyone.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.